The Haines Senior Village Board hands over management of the Senior Center to the borough, at least temporarily, and DOT officials present Haines Highway project updates to the public. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The bear known as Tripod that has been breaking into boats and raising concerns from residents around town was shot by a Haines police officer on Friday evening. Tripod had been clamoring into fishing boats in the harbor, causing damage and eating bait for a few weeks, according to police blotter accounts. There were also reports that the bear had gotten close to residents and the preschool. The police department was waiting for approval from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game before they could dispatch the bear.
I feel bad for the fishermen because I know it's their living in that. But we have to go by the same rules that everybody else does when it comes to these bears.
That was Sergeant Joshua Dryden. He says HPD officers hazed the bear Friday morning with rubber bullets to try to get it away from town, but the bear came back.
To get back to where he knows free food is, and he wasn't scared of us or anything. So makes it a public safety issue at that point.
He says the bear was dispatched around 8 p.m. Friday evening. The bear was skinned, and his skull and claws were kept and will be examined by the local fish and game biologist. The Haines Borough has taken over management of the Senior Center, at least for the short term. That decision came after meetings with the Senior Village Board, which has cared for the center on a shoestring budget for years. The board voted last week to hand over the key to the borough. It's unclear who will manage the Senior Center long term. Back in April, I made a visit to the Senior Center to talk to some of the regular lunchgoers.
I lost my husband 19 months ago, and this gives me a reason to get out of the house every day, 5 days a week. And I enjoy the companionship of all the people that are close to my age.
Ruth Farrell is one of about 50 people who take lunch at the Senior Center on weekdays, according to Deb Vogt, the president of the Senior Village Board.
I think there's 7 or 8 tables that are full every day.
The center also offers exercise classes, educational talks, and game get-togethers. It's also available for people to rent for events. For years, it's the nonprofit Senior Village Board that has managed that. Vogt says they used to have a reserve that they drew on every year to help pay for the center.
We had a fairly sizable chunk of cushion, and we dipped into that every year to the tune of about $1,000 a year because that was about our deficit. And now that money's gone and we're broke.
The board has paid for the small manager's salary, utilities, and routine maintenance. Borough manager Dave Sosa says the borough has handled ownership of the building, insurance, and capital maintenance. He says that relationship has been in place since 1992, but now
they don't have the fiscal wherewithal to continue managing the facility.
Vogt says the board's financial ability became unsustainable for 2 reasons. 1, they used up their reserve funds. 2, Ann Hansen had managed the Senior Center for the small payment of $100 a month. When Valerie McCandless took over that job recently, Vogt says,
we can't ask that of any other, manager. It's just not sustainable.
The board approached the borough about a year ago, asking for more financial help. And at a meeting Thursday, the borough took over management. Vogt says that wasn't exactly what the board wanted, but she says their treasurer wasn't at Thursday's meeting, so they didn't have the ability to ask for a clear management fee.
We didn't have a clean, we can make it if you'll pay us this. And so they're managing it at least until we get those numbers together.
It made the most sense for the borough to sever the existing relationship so that we can deal with the facility while they figure out where they were with the finances.
Sosa says all of the existing rentals for the center will continue. That includes the agreement with the organization that provides senior lunch. On Friday, Sosa said he would sit down with his staff to figure out if they can accept new rentals. Vogt says the current arrangement is not ideal, but
it's a relief to us to have them take responsibility for the incoming bills that we can't pay. I don't know how I feel about them managing it in the long run, and I don't know that they know how they feel.
Vogt hopes they can come to an agreement in which the board will continue to care for the center, but with more substantial help from the borough. Here's Sosa.
We don't want to see an entity, in this case the senior board, who also manages the senior village, placed in financial hardship, because you know, they work with members of the community and they provide a service, and it's not in anybody's interest for those services to be interrupted. So do I think that the borough staff can do as good a job? Probably not, because we have a bunch of other things that we look at. So the sooner we can resolve this, the better.
Sosa says he hopes they can decide on a permanent arrangement that works for the community, the seniors, and the borough. Officials from the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities and the Federal Highway Administration were on hand last week in Haines with big maps and glossy posters to talk to locals about the new Haines Highway Plan. The revised draft environmental assessment addresses many concerns brought forth in the last public comment period. KHNS's Jillian Rogers attended the workshop and hearing at the Haines High School on Wednesday.
The official public hearing, slated to take up much of the evening, was a little anticlimactic. It took longer for the facilitator to explain the rules to the group than it did for the five or so people to state their piece on the new plan for upgrades to the highway. Those who did comment were mostly in favor. Here's part of Tom Andreasen's testimony.
It looks like a good project. I'd like to see this project move forward as fast as possible. Thank you.
The proposed highway construction would widen and straighten the road from mile 3.5 to mile 25.3. Representatives from the DOT and Federal Highways were armed with plenty of written information, maps, and diagrams to inform the public of changes made to the project design. Down the hall, a crowd was bustling, with questions and comments for and against flowing freely. The public is encouraged to voice their opinions on the update, and the comment period to do so has been extended to December 7th.
We print all of those comments, and we address all of those comments. I'm not saying everybody's going to like our answer, but that's what we will do. Now, in the draft revised EA, we have answered everybody's concerns. We accumulate similar concerns, okay, like fish or design speed, and we answer those.
That's Jim Scholl, the project environmental coordinator for DOT. He said on Wednesday that the comments so far have been about 50-50 for and against the project. He added that the final green light for construction hinges on the public process, but is ultimately up to the Federal Highway Administration. Assembly member Tresham Gregg said he's concerned that the road upgrades will detract from the charm of the area.
We all love our highway, and our scenic byway is national, and it's an attraction for tourists.
According to DOT, the $100 million project will make the road safer by making the speed limit consistent with the rest of the highway's 55-mile-per-hour limit and removing sharp curves in the road. The proposed design incorporates a wide 6-foot shoulder on both sides, more passing areas, and bigger culverts to divert mud and debris at problem areas. The project has been ongoing for 10 years and stalled a few years back because of funding. A draft EA was released in 2013, but an outcry from local residents and conservation groups about disruption to fish and eagle habitat was a catalyst for the revamped design. Mayor Jan Hill said she's heard mostly positive feedback about the revised plan.
Because this has been in the planning, you know, stages for years. We've seen small improvements over the years in different, you know, in phases, and that's how these projects go. So I'm very encouraged to see so many people here tonight, though.
Haines DOT operations foreman Matt Boron said a wider, straighter road will make it easier for his crews to maintain. And he said getting a handle on the slide areas, especially at 19 Mile, means a safer route and less cost for cleaning up after a slide.
Generally, we get one or two big events a year that cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars to deal with every year.
Eric Hawley is with Lynn Canal Conservation. He said he appreciates all the improvements in the new plan, but is still a little disappointed that some aspects of the project haven't been enhanced enough to protect the plants, animals, and fish in that area. He said he'd like to see less riprap or rock along the banks. He thinks natural erosion protection like logs would do the job and create habitat at the same time. He said he'd also like to see fewer passing zones, smaller shoulders, and a reduced speed limit to 50 miles per hour.
Our intention has not been to stop this project. Our intention is to make sure that the impacts, particularly to the Eagle Preserve, are as close to non-existent as possible.
Comments on the new revised draft can be sent to HaynesHighway@alaska.gov until December 7th. Go to khns.org to find a link to the revised draft assessment. Reporting in Haynes, I'm Jillian Rogers.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.